So we're kicking off a new series. I'm taking this from, this is from Craig Groeschel. It is his book called Weird. And so we're going to go through a few week series on this. He is also the author of The Christian Atheist. I know that's an oxymoron too, but so we're going to go through a little introduction today and then get into a few aspects over the next few weeks. And so let's get into it. So you know me, we got to define our terms when we talk about weird. What do we mean? Well, the Cambridge English Dictionary defines weird as this: strange and different from anything natural or ordinary. And as an adjective, it is extraordinary. It is supernatural. As a noun, they describe it as fate or destiny. And it was described as soothsaying. And in Greek and Roman mythology, it dealt with man's destiny in a final sense. And it's also translated in from the Greek in the Bible. You can see it from verses like Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. Paul says, "For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, they walk as enemies of the cross of Christ, and their destiny is destruction." I think some translations use their end. Their end is destruction. It's the same word. It deals with destiny. And of course, these people, their destiny is determined by themselves. God doesn't determine their destiny. They choose to be destroyed. But in Greek and Roman mythology, the Greek word more was actually the word that was used to describe the fate sisters. If you know anything about Greek and Roman mythology, you'll know that the 1984 version of Clash of the Titans called them the Stygian Witches, and there was three of them, and they were able to see and do the future. They were called the Weird Sisters, and because that's what the word weird meant, originally etymology of the word, it became known as destiny, and become known as weird, but that's what it originally started out as. And so these three witches would have, they were known for a special set of scissors that they have, and man has a string of his life, and when his life was over, according to his destiny, they would cut the string, and then boom, man would lose his life. And so you couldn't go against destiny, you couldn't go against the fate. And so this was something that was, if you did, it was weird. So if by chance or some fortune or something like that, that you went against the fate, if you were able to change the stars, then that was kind of weird because everybody had their certain point in time. And so if you were to define weird, how would you define it? Just a simple definition. What would you say? Single word, double word, three words in a row? I don't care. Give me a definition. Fate. What would you say? Fate. Or weird, I'm sorry.
Abnormal.
Okay. Somebody? Odd. Yeah. What? Strange. Yeah. What am I?
Peculiar.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah, peculiar. So, what else? Weird. Different. We say that about kids. Oh, that kid's weird. Well, that's. And so some synonyms of the word weird are bizarre, off the wall, odd, offbeat, my favorite, off kilter, funky, strange, and of course probably what we would use throughout this small series, you just use the word not normal, right? Anything weird would be something that's not normal. And so that's what we're kind of talking about through this. Bill Watterson said this, you know what's weird? Day by day, nothing seems to change. But pretty soon, everything's different. You ever notice that? See, you turn around, you look, and you go, wow, yeah, that ain't, wow, I don't remember that. I don't remember this. So things that we, now some of you go back a little further than I do, even though today is my 35th birthday. But anyway. Yes, thank you. Thank you. None of us probably remember cell phones in school because we didn't have cell phones back then. They didn't have cell phones back when I was in school either. But nowadays, kids don't know a time without a cell phone. That's weird to us. I remember payphones. Right? How many of you used a payphone? My goodness. How many of you had to memorize people's telephone numbers? How many of you memorize phone numbers now? I don't need to. Right? That's weird. What's your number? Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look it up. I don't know my own number. But yeah, I mean, I can remember, well, I don't remember it now, but yeah, 419-589 something, something, something. You knew that for years. That had the same phone number, same landline. Phone books. How many, you know how to use a phone book because you used to do it all the time. You had to pull it out to look up businesses and look up that stuff. That's weird because we don't live like that no more. We don't do stuff like that anymore. How many of you remember the old turn dial TVs? I was the remote. I was the youngest. That was me. Yeah. Yeah. Go turn the channel. No, come on, you do it. Okay. That's right. And then you got to adjust the ears. Stop, stop right there. Stop. So we don't even do that anymore. I remember years ago going into, I loved to go into Hawkins because we had the glass bottles in the little case and we'd take down that little rack and you'd try to push it as fast as you could to go through the little plastic flaps in the back. I did anyway. I remember we used to live by Big Bear there on the hill going down to the old junior high and we'd go up to the hilltop laundromat and we'd be in there and I remember putting quarters in. I think it was 35 cents back in the day, but you pull out the Coke bottle. It was a glass bottle. Remember those? Man, that's good. They don't even have glass bottles anymore. To kids, they're like, oh, that's weird. I remember the, yes? Oh, yeah. They used to check your oil, do the windshield all the time. Yeah. I always wanted to be one of those guys because I wanted those little changer things, man. I was like, yeah, I would be like that guy, have that little change thing. That would have been so cool. We look at that and go, wow, that's weird. Because it's not normal today. Things are like that are not normal. An atlas. Who uses a map? Who does MapQuest? Who prints off their directions anymore? Nobody. Okay, here's one that goes way back. How many of you still have a set of encyclopedias in your house?
I made her use it.
How many of you go to a dictionary to look something up? Yeah. You still do? All right. Well, that's weird for us, but not for you.
Party lines.
Oh, I remember that. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's terrible. People used to get on there. What about Blockbuster Video? They don't even have any of those anymore. So they used to have the old VHS and the old beta systems and DVDs. And then Blockbuster was replaced by like Redbox and stuff and all these things. Now you got them on your phones, your TVs, your apps. You just purchase movies and you can take them anywhere you go. You don't need any of that stuff anymore. Those things are weird. How many of you had 8-tracks? Come on. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. 8-track tapes, then cassette tapes did. I don't even think cars have DVD players or CD players in them anymore. It's all Bluetooth hookup. Bluetooth hooks up right to your... I remember back in the old cassette days when the CDs come out, you had to put that one with the little wire on it, and you put the tape deck in there, and it'd play your little CD. Yeah, a little adapter. Yeah, that's weird now. That's weird. I remember those tapes, sticking a pencil through there and trying to twist that thing up when it got all tangled up. Man, that was terrible. What about reading the TV guide? How many of you read the TV guide, like, faithfully? Yes. Reader's Digest, a Reader's Digest people. There they are. How many of you had a waterbed? Oh, I know, I did. I love that thing, man. My wife made fun of me. I had to get rid of it. I was so mad. I was like, I might have to pick a new woman. This ain't happening. How many of you save newspapers? Anybody read the newspaper anymore? Who reads the paper newspaper? Yeah, if it was newspaper. My grandfather Zediker used to read that every day, get it every day, and he'd have stacks and stacks and stacks, and every so, like once a month or once every other month, he'd load them up in the trunk and in the back seat, and we'd take them in and recycle them and all that stuff, and I thought, man, they don't even do that anymore. Most of them are online. You have to do online. It's weird. Anybody have an address book? Okay. All right. Not so weird anymore. Not so weird. What about, let's see. How many of you pay by a paper check and put it in the mail? Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. All right. A lot of old school folks. It's okay. It's all good. How many of you remember pagers? Anybody have a pager? Oh, man. I hated those things. Those things went off, and you're like, I'm not calling in. I'll just say my battery went dead. Yes, 911. You got to call in. How many of you remember hitting star 69 to see what number just called you? Anybody remember that? That's weird because you just look on there and it just got, you know, the numbers on there and tells you where it's from and who it is, even if it's potential spam. So you don't even do the star 69 thing anymore. It's crazy. So many things have changed over the years. So many things are so different. The things that we grew up with now are weird to younger generations. And you have to keep up with culture for sure, but you can't forget where you've come from. But when we talk about living weird, we got to live differently than the world lives. One of the things that I remember is I was trailer trash. We lived in a trailer growing up. And so I tell you, you walked in the middle of the road, and if a car come, boy, every trailer person in that trailer court told you to get the something out of the road, you miserable creep. And then by the time you got home, everybody in the trailer court had done called your mom and dad, told you that you was in the middle of the road, and you got it when you got home. But today, you go driving down the middle of the road, and there's kids and stuff and things, and the parents are cussing you out because, hey, you're inconveniencing my kid by driving in the road. What? That's weird. That's weird to me. So different than how we grew up. I remember going out in the morning and then listening to mom call for me at night because it's just getting dark. Is it too dark? Is it not dark enough? Do I still got another hour? And yeah, man, it's like, man, but kids don't leave their rooms. It's kind of, things are different nowadays than they were years ago. And what, when we talk about being weird, You don't want to have a worldly mindset. You want to have a biblical mindset. And there's nothing wrong with doing things that are in the world. But you have to understand that the godly mindset is totally different than the worldly mindset. And that's what we want to get back to. We want to get back to a godly mindset, a biblical mindset, because it's totally different. Jesus taught, everything that Jesus taught was anything but normal. It was not normal. Matter of fact, in Luke 6, 27 through 29, Jesus said, I say to you, love your enemies and do good to those that hate you. I'm not political, not getting into the political race, but if you've heard Robert De Niro about Donald Trump, you don't love your enemies, you hate them, and you want to punch them right in their face. That's, I know sometimes we like to punch some people in the face because it makes us feel better. But we're commanded to love our enemies. It's different. That mindset is different than what we are being taught. Bless those who curse you. How many times do people cuss you out and you tell them that, oh, God bless you. You're so wonderful. I'll pray for you. No, you want to tell them they're number one too, and you want to go to their level. You want to get that worldly mindset in. That's why we got to be careful. So when we talk about being weird, we can't be normal, because that stuff is the norm. That stuff is the norm, and we're called to be different. Pray for those who abuse you. Oh, that's hard. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one also. From the one who takes away from your cloak, do not withhold your tunic also. So somebody takes your gloves, hey, give them your boots too. There you go, man. And take them both. And be like, no, you want to try to steal from me? I'm going to take something from you. It's like, no, we can't be doing that. Jesus taught to love. He taught not to avenge. Matter of fact, this is a good one. Romans 12, 19 through 21, Paul tells us, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's different than how we think, isn't it? We don't think that way. We're like, man, somebody does something to me, I'm going to get even. And God says, be careful. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. We don't have to get even with people, right? So this is, now back here it says, to the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one also. That's not talking about if somebody hits you, turn this other cheek so he can hit you over here too. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about stopping him from doing physical harm to you. But once you have stopped him, then you turn the other cheek and say, enough's enough. Okay, I'm turning away. That's what turning the other cheek is. It's not getting vengeance. Well, you want to hurt me? I'm going to break your arm and I'm going to bust your car up. No, that's getting vengeance on him. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You reap what you sow. So if somebody's going to do harm, you stop them from doing harm, and that's it. You don't get even with them. God will get even. He is the one. He is the judge. Amen? But we don't think that way. Like, that person did me wrong, and you know what? I'm gonna get him. I'm gonna get him good. No, God will. Don't worry. God will get him. You don't have to. It's not that big a deal. You don't have to. And so Paul says, never avenge yourself. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For doing so, you're gonna put. Now, back in the day, if fire was important to them, and if their fire went out, they would come and they would have a little hand bucket that they would actually get coals from somebody's fire, and they would take it back to their place, and they would be able to start a fire again. So it's like, by doing good to them, you'll heap coals of fire so that they can help them. And that's what you do. You don't overcome evil with evil, but you overcome evil with good. You're trying to help somebody. We're trying to show them Jesus, right? But most times we don't. And we sow them Satan, which they already know. The church is supposed to be different. We're called to be different. We're called to be weird, not normal, right? The world is normal according to the worldly standard. As the church, we're called to be weird. We're called to be not normal. In Matthew 10, 39, Jesus said, whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's weird. That's I got to lose my life in order to find it, and if I find it, I'll lose it. But it's totally different than what the world says. In Luke 14, 26, Jesus said, if anybody comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life can't be my disciple. I got to hate myself? I got to hate my family? Now, of course, that's not exactly what he's saying. But listen, Jesus has to come first, right? Does not Jesus come first? Okay, then why do our lives not look like it? We take care of us, we take care of family, we take care of all kinds of things. And so we don't look any different than the world. We're to be different. Remember Matthew 7, verse 14? It says, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. so many roads to salvation, so many roads to eternal life, right? No. Jesus said there's a narrow road. It's hard to find, and very few people are going through it. Well, that's kind of different than what we're taught, isn't it? The worldly mindset is all-inclusive, but God is not. God is not all-inclusive. He's exclusive. John 14, 6, what does it say? Someone give it to me. John 14, 6, give it to me. Come on. Awesome. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. That's exclusive, not all inclusive. And so there's only one way to heaven. Many roads to destruction, and many people are going that way, but there's only one road that leads to eternal life. Culture today, gosh, people are doing all kinds of immoral things. It's sad. Matter of fact, the norm for most people is to, and this goes back to literally, and I know I won't ask anyone in here because I'm sure some probably didn't follow God's standard as well. But we talk about waiting until getting married to have sex. Immorality is something that literally goes to no end. I counseled an unsaved couple. Both of them are unsaved. Had no problem aligning them together. They were both unsaved. But they were living together, and I just made mention, because, Pastor, what's your mindset? What are you going to think? You're thinking biblical standards. They have no biblical standards. They don't believe in God. So, okay, whatever. They said, well, yeah, we don't do that. You got to, just like a car, you got to go test drive it before you buy it. And I'm like, that probably not the example I was looking for. I mean, I'm not going to do all that. Just, oh, goodness. A little different with a car than it is a relationship. You're making a commitment to the relationship regardless. You can always trade that in, get a new car. Well, I guess today you can always trade it in, get a new spouse, too. That's the norm, right? If this one doesn't work out, I'll trade them in, get a new model. If this one gets too old, I'll trade them in and get something new or younger, something. I don't know. That's the way people are doing stuff. We talk about normal, the worldly normal, normal, so to speak, that infects our faith. When you are following the worldly normal, it's going to infect your faith as well as Christians. It infects how we think. It infects how we live. It perverts our beliefs. And when you think about it, people are related to God in one of two ways. Either one, they reject him altogether. There's no God. Or two, and this is where most of us live, we believe in God, but we live as if he doesn't exist. We have our own standards. We have there's no immediate consequences, so I can go do what I want. It's amazing. It's kind of like the lukewarm Christians of Revelation chapter 2, right? Or 3, I'm sorry. The Laodicean church. They were lukewarm. Jesus said, you're not on fire, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're not refreshing, you're lukewarm. You make me sick and I want to spit you out of my mouth. I'm like, wow, this is Christianity that's self-centered. It's spiritual consumerism, Burger King mindset. I want to have it my way. You give me Jesus the way I want him, the way I feel that he should be. And that's not exactly how God wanted it to be. It's kind of a shallow type of me-driven faith. God is he's in our toolbox, and we'll pull him out whenever we want him to accomplish something. And when that don't work, we'll move on to something else. That's what Titus 1:16, Paul says, they profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They say, I'm all in, Jesus, I'm all in. But by what we do, we don't say that. Our lives look a little different than actually what we say. And so don't let your mouth write checks your butt ain't willing to cash. That's a good one right there. You can write that down. All of those things, all of that stuff. No, don't type that down, Darcy. That's not, don't. Well, actually, Dave's taping it, so darn it. All of this stuff is normal, but that's what the book title says, normal. Normal isn't working. We need to be weird. We need to be different. This is how we're going to show people a different lifestyle. We're going to need to challenge our faith. The normal way people live today is miles away from the way God intended. If you look at it this way, living different than the way the world lives as normal, it's nothing more than us being obedient to God. Right? If we were obedient to God, our lives would look different. Different than the world. Things would be different. We are creatures of habit, right? We love normalcy. We love things to be the same. Most people hate change, right? Oh boy, you don't change nothing. You don't change our Bible translation. You don't change the pews in the auditorium. You don't change how they're set up. You don't change. Now, people hate change. We're creatures of habit. We love normalcy. But the problem is that there is no normal life. There's no normalcy. There's just life. And this is why there's different churches. They practice different. They do different stuff. And what do? We complain about them because they're not like us. They're not like how we want it. Man, we've got to get away from ourselves. That's the whole point. You're going to have to do some self-examination here because normal isn't working. We need to be weird. We need to be different. Because if you look no different than the world, why does the world want anything? Want any part of you? Right? If you're no different than the world, why would they want to be a part of Jesus? Life happens to everybody. They know it. We know it. Matter of fact, in Ecclesiastes 9, 11 through 12, Solomon says this, again, I saw that under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor is the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to everyone. For man does not know his time, like fish that are taken in an evil net, like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them. Time and chance happen to everybody. Evil falls upon everybody. Good falls upon everybody. God's sun shines on the just as well as the unjust, right? His rain falls on the just as the unjust. Evil falls upon the good as well as the bad, right? This is normal. We need to be different, and our difference is how we react to stuff. Our difference is how we do things in life. We don't need to be the same. We don't need to be normal. The world lives different than God's people do, or should. We should live different than the world lives. God gave the Old Testament people specific instructions on how to live. Do you know why? Why did God give all the rules and regulations to Israel in the Old Testament? To set them apart, to show the world a different way to live, right? And they messed it up, and they, of course, hoarded God. But we do the same thing in the New Testament. 1 John 5:9, we know that we're from God, and the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. They're under the power of Satan. It's controlled by the spirit of Antichrist. And here's the kicker. New Testament people, we should be doing the same thing. Even though we don't have all those rules and regulations, we still need to be living different. We still need to be living different, but we don't. Paul says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I appeal to you by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God that is good and acceptable and perfect. We're called to be different. We're called to not to be the same as the world, but the problem is that most Christians live just like the world. Let me ask you this question. Don't answer this out loud. This is a rhetorical question. If Christianity is outlawed, and any aspect of Christianity could put you into prison for life, could you be arrested for being a Christian? Think about that a minute. If Christianity is outlawed in America, Christianity is outlawed in so many other countries. And you know what? Some of those people don't care. Stories of Mr. Ho when he was here, that little short, little Chinese guy. He's only about 3'9", but awesome, beautiful soul. Wonderful servant of the Lord. Talked about how people would walk for days just to copy one page of Scripture. So they could walk days and go back and read it to their underground churches. Days. Would you walk for days just to copy one page of Scripture? Oh, no, you just pull your phone out and just got 50 different translations. And most of the time people don't do that because it's just so readily available. But if you were to be arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to put you in prison for life? That's one to think on. And so as we grow older, it's harder and harder to change. We get more set in our ways. People hate change. We get more cantankerous, a little more irritable, a little more everything. We need that's the renewing of our minds, man. We need to understand and know that people are lost, they are going to hell, and we need to be a light to them. We need to be salt, not lime and be real sour, but we need to be salt and light. Salt is a preservative. It doesn't make you all wrinkly, but it's a preservative. It helps preserve things. It helps give flavor to stuff, and that's what we need to do. We need to be a salt and light influence. We need to live different, I guess weird. We talk about things that set us different. We talk about being set apart. We need to talk about things that really set us apart as children of God, as opposed to things that are irrelevant, such as color of our carpet, color of our walls, color of our stage, the translations we use, which the King James, there's nothing wrong with the King James. I make fun of it all the time, but there's nothing wrong with it. It's a great translation. You just have to do a lot of research because we don't talk like that. It's old school, archaic language we don't speak of. But if you want to know what it's talking about, you got to do your research because we don't talk like that anymore. And it's kind of like the Greek. You got to look all those words up. But people memorize those. How many of you memorize King James Version? Translation of the King James. All your verses are in King James. And I do that too. And I'm trying to get a little more. I use the ESV and I use the NLT and I'll use other different translations that say it a little more plainer, so I don't have to say the verse and then explain all the words, and then I'll just say a verse in a little easier to understand language. But what happens is we get set in our ways. We get and some people, and this is why I'm so harping on legalism, is because some people go to the extent that if you don't have the King James Bible open, you can't get saved. And is that true? No, absolutely not. And even though it's a great translation, it's got problems just like all the other ones do, right? Preferences. Music preferences. That's a good one. A lot of people, how many have liked the old hymns? Okay, a lot. That's a lot. That's awesome. I love the old hymns. How many of you are new contemporary type people? Oh, you okay, you got both. There you go. You can, but just pick one. No, you're allowed to have both. That's good. You guys are multilingual musical, whatever that word is. Rick Warren said this. Huh? Grace. That's right. Showing grace. Rick Warren said this. There's no such thing as Christian music. There are only Christian lyrics. He said it's the lyrics, it's the words that make the song sacred, not the tune. There are no spiritual tunes. He said if I played a song for you without the words, you would have no way of knowing if it was a Christian song. Think about that. Right? It's not the music. It's not the words. And this is something that I find is really funny, because a lot of people don't like the new contemporary Christian because it sounds too much like rock, which is pagan music and all that. But if you understand anything about how the Old Testament hymns were written, they were put to bar tunes. The music that is there, you could do the bar tunes with the same amount of music and you'd never know that it was a hymn. But then you put it in the hymn and it was bar tunes. That's what they put some of those hymns to. It was songs that they sang in the bar. And they had the tunes and they put them together and boom, you're singing stuff that had people saying other stuff too. But you never know. It's not the music, it's the words, it's the scripture. That's why they were called hymns and spiritual songs, and because they had scripture in it. That's why God wanted you to sing it, because it's a way that you can memorize. How many of you memorized the Gettysburg Address or the Declaration of Independence or any of that by singing it? Did you sing it? Did they learn it by singing it?
Nope.
Okay. We just messed up my illustration, but it's okay. Books of the Bible. There you go. We sing them because it's a way to help you to remember them. That's why God put scripture to song. It's easier for you to remember that. I've got so much songs in here that I probably shouldn't be singing. They're still there for life. You can't remember other stuff that I should. But listen, we talk about dress code. Dress code's a good one. 1 Samuel 16:7, God says, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Why is it that we look at the outward appearance? Why is that the first thing we look at?
Because we're visual beings.
We are visual beings. And there is something to be said about being attractive on the outside to man's appeal. But Jesus said, don't judge by outward appearance. Judge righteously. But we don't. We look at people, we look at how they look, and we judge them based on their appearance. Right? You old school people, you probably see somebody with a tattoo, and you'd be like, look at that guy. Right? Come on, be open and honest. Don't say that out loud. But it is. We put standards on stuff, and we look at things, and we got to be different. We have to be different. We can't be just like the world. Matter of fact, in James 2, verse 1 through 9, James talks about the dress code. And we can actually show favoritism, show partiality by the way people are dressed. He talks about the people that are fancy dressed and the people that are dressed lowly. And he's like, you put the lowly people in the back and bring all the fancy people up front, and we show partiality that way. He said that's not how it should be. Church today has become nothing more than, in most cases, a pep rally and a social club. Right? A little pep rally and a social club. If you don't belong to a certain clique, then you're probably nothing in the church. And that's not the way God designed church. God designed church for you to come in, to gather around the Word of God, for you to be saturated with that Word, meditate on that Word that you have learned, and then go and be changed by what you've learned. That's what God designed the church to do. When you come in, you take in the Word of God, you are changed by what you hear, and you go out and you live differently. That's being weird. But most people just want encouraged, or people just want to be lifted up, or people just want to be made happy for a little while, and it's not going to work too good. It's not going to work too good, because as soon as you get out in the parking lot and the rain starts, your mood's going to drop again. It's the joy that the scriptures bring to you of knowing Christ and having an eternal home, and no matter what happens, that's where you're going. You know that's going to be. No matter what happens at your lot in life, your destiny, your whatever, whether you're rich, you're poor, you have a lot of physical afflictions, you're getting old, you're not old, whatever, it doesn't matter. Your joy comes from God, and that's why we come here, is to get refreshed in the Lord. And so we need to be relevant in our culture, but we don't want to do what they do. We want to be different. We want to be relevant in our culture, but we got to be, I guess, weird. And this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about three topics, and we'll take a couple weeks per topic. We're going to talk about time. We need to be different with our time. We need to, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, we need to redeem the time. We need to make the best use of our time because the days are evil. Time's running out, folks. Time is running out. The rapture's coming soon, so we need to make the best use of our time. Secondly, we need to do something different with our finances. Our money needs to look different. If you look no different than the world, why do they want to come to church and learn about how to deal with your money? Actually, it's a heart's attitude because it has nothing to do with us. It's God's money. He owns it all. We're just stewards. But I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The people that have gone through COVID, they went through the Dave Ramsey program, followed biblical principles, out of debt, have 6 months of income in the bank. They're working on their retirement to retire at 35. Yeah, they were laughing at COVID. Bring it on. What are you going to do to me, man? I got it set. I'm all paid off. I follow God's principles. Not a big deal. Bring it on. And some people live paycheck to paycheck. And that's how the world does. Dave Ramsey's credit score is zero. You know why? Because he doesn't borrow money. And the first thing they tell you when you get out of high school is what? Get a credit card, buy a loan, do something so you can build your credit score. All that tells you is that you can handle debt. And God says, get out of debt. Run. We're going to talk about that in the weeks to come. And then thirdly, we're going to deal with relationships. Our relationships need to look different than the world. When somebody has a problem with somebody in the world, what do? Well, either kill them or, you know, I mean, we can't kill one another. We're supposed to love each other. But they don't deal with them. They treat them as an enemy, and they treat them very poorly. And Jesus says, even our enemies, if they're hungry, we need to feed them. If they're thirsty, we need to get them something to drink. We need to look different. We need to look, I guess, weird. We need to look weird according to the world. And so we're going to talk about those three topics in the upcoming weeks.